Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm really excited to interview a very interesting and inspiring young lady. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, how are you doing?
Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and your Instagram handle. Mm-hmm.
So I'm Leslie Gonzalez. My Instagram handle is LeslieXGP. I am a third-year medical student, Latina, out in Los Angeles, and I'm very excited to be here and chat with you today.
And we met on Instagram, of course. So Leslie has a great account, and I had noticed on her feed that she was having trouble with her skin, breaking out, and this and that. And I was like, she really needs to try my skincare.
Yes, I've had trouble with my skin since before I was a teenager, really. And I would get acne, red inflamed cystic acne all throughout college. And I literally tried everything. I tried changing my diet. I tried doing clean, non-toxic beauty. That didn't work. I tried almost like any product you can think of that's drugstore and even over the counter. Wouldn't work.
Mm. And it's interesting that you're in the medical profession, so you kind of understand the science mm-hmm. of things. So it's taken you a really long time to find a product that cleared you up, and your skin has cleared up so beautifully.
Thank you.
So happy for you. So she's using my acne mm-hmm. kit, the wash, and now we're sort of on phase two with her treatment, where we're moving on to treating pigmentation mm-hmm. with the vitamin C, the glycolic peel pads, and now are you ready to try an in-office peel?
I'm so ready for that step.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned that, you know, I do have that medical knowledge. So I would really pick out items that were meant to target acne, and they still wouldn't work. They still would not give me the results that I wanted until I stumbled upon your products. And that really, I try to stay committed to it. I try to be like the perfect patient that, you know, is compliant and did all of the steps correct, and it worked. I was so surprised that something actually worked, but it gave me the results that I wanted. My skin was like the best. It is the best it's ever been.
That's so rewarding for you to say that, because I've worked really hard on my skincare line, and I think that it's very affordable, and people who mm-hmm. are struggling, if you're breaking out, you know how it affects your confidence, and just you want to put your best self out there, so definitely try something better. It's interesting that you decided to go into medicine. What made you choose mm-hmm. to become a doctor? And you're in third year med school.
Yes.
Where did you go to med school?
Well, I am currently going to med school at Western University of Health Sciences out in Pomona, California. I was interested in medicine from a very, very young age. My mom is a nurse, so I would see her come in with her scrubs and her anatomy books and her stethoscope, and I literally would just look through the anatomy books, and there were some pictures in there that probably, you know, a six-year-old shouldn't see, but I was engrossed out by it. I was very, very interested. So in college, I really just pursued, you know, the whole pre-med kind of curriculum and really got involved in volunteer work at hospitals. I shadowed for maybe 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I was very committed to, you know, making my dream a reality. And then after that, I decided to do a master's program. I got two master's programs. And one was mostly more so on the medical side, and the other one was more on the research side. And it was a very unique opportunity, and I seized the opportunity. I ended up getting published a couple of times. I did research with HIV and tuberculosis. I would have to wear that big, ugly hazmat suit.
Oh, gosh.
It was hot in there. But I ended up learning a lot and ended up getting published and even writing a chapter in a book mm-hmm. for HIV. And so, yeah, my road hasn't been, you know, straight. It's taken many different turns, but ultimately I ended up achieving my dream, which was getting into med school.
Med school is very, very hard and very stressful. And I think that Grey's Anatomy and TV shows like Emergency ER make it seem like it's just the coolest, hippest thing to do. And it is. It's such a great honor and responsibility, and it's a calling and a career. But it's super brutal, and people don't understand the amount of intense memorization and fact you have to learn, and hours and commitment, and you can't have a life, really.
No life whatsoever. Once you commit to wanting to become a doctor, you have to kind of make peace with that you're going to sacrifice a lot. And you're going to sacrifice time with family, your own personal enjoyment, and your own personal social time. There'll be days, I'll be honest with you, there was days where I had to study for 12 hours for exams that were going to come up. And I would be at the library with no windows whatsoever. And it would be day after day after day studying for 12 hours. I would cry on the way home because I would ask myself, do I really want this?
Yeah.
So it was really tough. But eventually, I got over those hurdles, and seeing patients really kind of solidified that I was doing the right thing.
I think the first 2 years are definitely the hardest. Doing gross anatomy class is a challenge. Yeah. It's so much to master, and you really have to sacrifice. So people don't tell you that so much. It's very glamorous to get into med school. It's very wonderful to have a career. But you are going to give up a lot in your life.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to have delayed gratification, which
intensely
delayed gratification, because you really can't be the person who's like, yeah, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to go party every weekend. Your friends are having fun. They're all young. They're all your age. Mm-hmm. And you're not.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, one thing that I've had to deal with, too, is like, you know, I'm not old. I'm like 26, 27. But a lot of my friends from like high school and college ended up getting married, having kids, having their, you know, their first house. And I look at them, I'm like, oh, I'm still trying to work towards my career. But those things eventually come, you know.
Yeah.
This career that I've chosen has, you know, made me sacrifice a lot, but it's given me so much in return.
I think one thing we don't talk about very much is like the amount of depression and suicidal issues that come up with people in med school, and the intense perfectionism that we all face because we are high-performing people who come into med school with high GPAs and the ability to hit those high scores. And it's hard. Med school tears you apart in a lot of ways before you have to build yourself back together. You have to be a strong enough person to find the tools to build yourself even while you're getting torn down. You know,
definitely. Yeah, and you're right. There's a lot of type A personalities in med school. I mean, you're like the cream of the crop. You are amongst other people who did just as well as you did. So even though sometimes it doesn't feel like a competition, it's still kind of a competition.
It really still is. Yes. Once you get into med school, you can't just lay off, because then you got to be competitive if you want to be a surgeon. Super competitive. You want to be a plastic surgeon? It's the worst. It's the most competitive. Dermatology, all the very highly sought after fields. We used to say the road to happiness. Yeah. Radiology, ophthalmology, anesthesiology, dermatology, of course, plastic surgery. Those are the super competitive fields. So you think that you got there and there's no more competition. There is. You have to compete for research. You have to compete for, you know, finding a mentor, getting the grades, getting third year AOA, which is the Academic Honor Society, Alpha Omega Alpha. So you get third year AOA or fourth year AOA, which is super important to go into these really hard specialties. So I don't think the pressure ever comes off.
Then
it's even in your clinical years, they're so fun, but you're also still, and I went to USC for med school, and we had rotations where you were judged as honors, near honors, or, you know, pass, fail. Yeah. And, of course, the perfectionist in you wants to be honors.
Oh, yeah.
Honors for everything. Sure. Yeah. So it's kind of very difficult because it's impossible to master everything in every class, and you will fail, as every student and every college kid in every profession in nursing school or wherever you go, you're going to realize that you can't master everything, and you have to be able to not tear yourself apart and beat yourself down and think that you're a failure.
Oh, yeah. And the imposter syndrome is so rampant in med school. I mean, in any profession, but when I first took my first med school exam, I was so happy. I was like, yes, I'm in med school. You know, I get to do this. Took it and failed miserably. And I just was like, I don't belong here. What am I doing here? And I felt so ashamed of myself. But eventually I picked myself up and continued to do, you know, what I was doing and trying to find something that worked for me. And I eventually did, and, you know, went on throughout first year trying to figure out what kind of student I was, because you become a different student in med school. But a lot of people didn't share their failures. A lot of people didn't share what really was going on.
Mm-hmm. They don't. Yeah. People pretend to have this facade of being like, I'm great. Everything is awesome in my life and I'm holding it together. Mm-hmm. And then you feel like a failure when in reality, everybody's barely holding things together with scotch tape.
Oh, yeah.
You know, barely.
Yeah. So. Relationships like fell apart first year. Like people got divorced and we never found this out through people. We like would really find out through the grapevine. Yeah. But people were just so ashamed of like sharing those types of
failures and things. Our med school class, we had like 10 couples that got married within the class, including me and my husband. And then I think now maybe like two or three are still together, which is like, that's life these days. What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And then we had one baby born in our class, which was fun. And then we had one 15-year-old in our class. It was like a crazy class.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
And then you tell me a little bit about being a Latina in medicine and how your experience has been different and then deciding to take some time off.
Mm-hmm. So I have a pretty big class, but in that class, I could count on two hands the amount of Latinas and Latinos. And I think that being like one of the few Latinas in my class, and you know, we're not so that our people are not really in the medical field as doctors, as like you know, so I feel like there's like an added pressure to succeed, there's an added pressure to kind of be the champion for your community and represent. Mm-hmm. And so,
where are you from?
I was born and raised in LA, from the San Fernando Valley. Both of my parents are from Mexico. So I'm 100% Mexican. And when I would go into my mentor's office, like in med school, we're assigned a mentor, you know, none of them really looked like me. And so it was hard to connect on a deeper level as to like,
it's hard for people to know your struggle because maybe in some ways you're the first person to even ever get to med school in your family or your culture or your church or whatever your group is. So there's a lot of pressure. I'm sure everybody's like, oh, how are you doing? You're getting all A's.
I know.
You're like, yeah, I'm barely getting by. Thanks.
I know.
Med student. We're barely getting by.
I know. I would literally like almost kind of avoid family togethers because I just didn't want anybody to ask me anything. Like, you know, I was just like living in my own world during that time. And eventually,
Did the pressure get to be too much?
Yeah, just because I was always going, you know, at 100. And so, you know, during college, then my master's, and then eventually med school, I was always trying to be like the best at everything, trying to be in so many organizations. I was like I was a club president. I was going to conferences. I was on e-board meetings. Like it's doing everything.
It's so exhausting. Yeah. And especially for us perfectionist type A women out there, it's like you step on this treadmill of like go, go, go and achieve. And then you, at some point you do ask yourself like, is this what I wanted? Am I going to ever get off this treadmill? Mm-hmm. And like, I can't tell you how happy I was when I took my very last official exam ever.
I bet.
When I passed my board certification for otolaryngology head and neck surgery, which is all the head and neck facial things that we do. So it was just amazing feeling to not have to ever take another test again. So you can get there.
Yeah, definitely.
But you got to, in the process, take yourself off the treadmill once in a while.
Oh, yeah. And I did just that a couple of months ago when I just didn't feel like myself anymore. I didn't. Things that brought me pleasure before weren't making me happy anymore. And I just literally, there was days where I wouldn't wake up until, I don't know, 12. And, you know, for rotations, you have to wake up really, really early to, like, you know, travel and get there on time. So make sure you read about your patients. So I was used to getting up early, but it got to a point where I would get up really late. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody about anything. I was keeping everything in and just going on to my rotations and just doing the work that was required of me. But when I would go home, everything was just kind of bad. Mm-hmm. So I was in a very dark place, and I didn't know what to do because I did ask for advice from, I guess, my colleagues and attendings who were young like me, but were a little bit more ahead of me. Mm-hmm. And I got so much mixed advice.
Our profession doesn't really acknowledge mental health and mm-hmm. the importance of, like, we don't even acknowledge keeping our bodies healthy.
Yeah.
Like sleeping enough, drinking enough, having like breaks during yep. shifts. And like me, I go all day without eating and drinking and my bladder can hold like a camel bladder. But I don't think we acknowledge that we're frail.
Yeah.
Human.
Yeah. Oh. 100%. Yeah. And it took me getting to that breaking point to really understand that I'm human. Mm-hmm. For so long, in this profession, you're put on a pedestal a lot. Mm-hmm. By family, by friends, by colleagues, by your patients. And you get used to it sometimes. And I got used to that. And finally, when I got to my breaking point, I just felt like I didn't deserve that pedestal.
So
I
mean, depression, it mm-hmm. hits all of us. Like, those are the symptoms. If you're too excessive sleeping, mm-hmm. not wanting to engage with people,
yeah,
you know, feeling anhedonia or loss of mm-hmm. pleasure, things that normally bring you pleasure, just kind of withdrawing from everything, and just like that's those are true clinical signs of depression. So this being Mental Health Awareness Month, it's good to point out that we are vulnerable in healthcare. All of us are.
Yeah. And, you know, being in healthcare, I recognize those symptoms. But people around me were like, no, you're okay. You're okay. Like, it's just a phase. It's okay. It's like, no, I'm not. I know I'm not. And I decided to really advocate for myself and just say, you know, I'm not okay. And it's okay not to be okay. So I'm going to take a break from school, because I literally had not taken a break ever. And I ended up taking a break, ended up going to therapy to just kind of talk through what was bothering me and, mm-hmm. you know, talk through the depression. And at first, therapy was really difficult because you tend to suppress a lot.
You don't want to look vulnerable in front of another human. Yeah.
And so during those therapy sessions, I was very, very vulnerable, most vulnerable I'd ever had to be. But, you know, continue to show up, continue to do what I was told. And eventually I started to feel like myself again, little by little. Mm-hmm. And I started to find pleasure in the things that I really like doing. And I didn't pressure myself, or I didn't give myself a timeline. You know, I should be better by this month or this date. I just let it happen. And I just went with the flow. And finally, when I felt better and when I felt like I could take school on back again, I jumped right back in and I just started and it feels like riding a bike.
That's good. I think you just need to recharge. Sometimes you need mm-hmm. a little break and a little reset, emotional reset.
Yeah.
And it's awesome what you're doing with your Instagram.
Thank you.
And I love the branching out into, you know, being an influencer in fashion. And I definitely want to come to your meetup. Tell us about your meetup that you're hosting.
Yes. So we're planning a meetup, and it's basically what I love about social media is that you can really connect with people of different walks, different cultures, different just backgrounds. And so I'm planning a meetup. Don't know the exact details yet. It's more like a networking meetup for students, for people who are already in the game, in medicine, for any type of healthcare profession, really. And I really want it to be kind of like a crash course on networking, because they don't teach you that in mm-hmm, school. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to learn that along the way. I had to learn that along the way as well. And especially as a Latina, like, you don't really have people in the profession that are going to help you out. Like, networking. It's not like you can ask mom or dad to, you know, help you with their networking mm-hmm. connections. So that's kind of what it's in the works with right now with Latinx en Medicina, which is the Instagram and the company that I'm starting.
Wonderful. Well, count me in.
Thank
and
you.
When you pick a date, time, location, let me know, and I'll invite all of our followers too.
Yes.
You can never have enough network supporters and helpers. And the more you get yourself out there, also, the more you get out of depression, get mm-hmm. out of a funk, find a new route, mm-hmm. find some light at the end of the tunnel from people like me who've survived this struggle. And my mom used to always tell me when I would come home after long surgery rotation, days, and I would lay at the foot of her bed and just be like crying, be like, I'm quitting, I don't want to go back. And she's like, you know what, time is going to pass whether you do your goals mm-hmm. and go and finish this program or not. Would you rather have 3 or 4 years go by and you accomplish what you want, or 3 or 4 years are going to go by anyway and you won't have those goals?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you sometimes have to kick yourself in the butt, buckle down. but I love your openness about this process. So I definitely encourage all my followers to go out and check out Leslie. Leslie, where can people find you on Instagram?
You can find me at LeslieXGP or at Latinx en Medicina.
That's perfect. And strong, beautiful woman, and I wish you all the success. I'm so glad you love the skincare.
Yes, I did.
Definitely come back and try a peel, and we're gonna give you all the confidence. I will be your mentor. I volunteer.
Oh, I appreciate that. Good mentors are really hard to come by, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, if you're interested in surgery or plastic surgery or any head and neck surgery, definitely come talk
to
me. You need someone to tell you what it's going to be like before you get thrown into the fire.
I know. I know.
That's it for now, guys. Be sure to find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, and you can find my skincare, the amazing acne kit that Leslie loved. It's on www.beautybydrk.com. And we tune in, and next time we do a 30-minute podcast on Tuesdays and a 5-minute Friday, and I know you guys will learn a lot. Stay motivated, get your goals. Talk about your experiences. It only makes you stronger. So great to meet you, Leslie.
Nice to meet you too.
Stay beautiful. Thank you.